What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedulefly, and this is the Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast, brought to you by us here at Schedulefly, simple restaurant employee scheduling software backed by legendary customer service and not backed by venture capitalists. We bootstrapped this business 16 years ago with a team of five. 16 years in, we have the same team of five. And the foundation of this business is super simple software, legendary customer service. We've never raised prices in 16 years, so very affordable, very effective. If you are on pencil and paper and Excel or something like that, or if you're using another scheduling software, you're probably paying two or three times as much. You have a lot of things you're paying for that you don't need and you don't use. So if you're in any of those audiences, give us a shot. We serve independent hospitality businesses, restaurants, breweries, distilleries, bars, boutique hotels, coffee shops, golf courses, and we'd love to serve you, and we'll take great care of you. Also brought to you by our friends at Pop Menu and The Giving Kitchen and Kickfin, and you're going to hear from all of them and why they're great businesses as well, that we are very proud to have as sponsors of this podcast. This episode is with Meredith Kromanek, and man, what a cool story. I mean, like a really cool backstory, a very unique backstory. One of her business partners, John Pierce, was on the podcast a few months back. And I hope we get more people from this team on this podcast because they're running some freaking awesome businesses outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. We were in Apex on this particular day, which is actually where I recorded with John Pierce, but they've got other locations in and around that area. And this is a fun conversation. Meredith loves what she does, and she's really good at it, and she's really humble about it, but it's clear that she's very good at it. And she's easy to talk to and fun to talk to, and you'll be educated and inspired and better off for having listened to this episode with Meredith. So with that, let's get this thing going. We'll hear first from our friends at Pop Menu. All right, Pop Menu. Check this out, y'all. The busiest time of the year is coming. Is your staff ready for the holiday rush? This year, give your team the gift of Pop Menu AI Answering, a simple solution for phones ringing off the hook. AI Answering handles calls 24/7, 365 days a year, so your staff can focus on in-person guests. Customize your greetings and responses. Answer common questions, promote specials and events, and send follow-up links to ordering and reservations. AI Answering handles it all while escalating more complex conversations back to your team. That's a cool part of this. It's my opinion. Never miss another tasty revenue opportunity. Pop Menu, the marketing technology platform designed to make growing your restaurant easy. Discover more AI restaurant tools that turn your to-do list into an already done list by requesting a demo today. For a limited time, get $100 off your first month, plus lock in one unchanging monthly rate at popmenu.com. Go now to get $100 off your first month at popmenu.com. Be sure to tell them Will from the Restaurant Owners Uncorked podcast and Schedulefly sent you, and go for it, y'all. Hey, let me just, this is what they said, asked me to say. So that's the script. I'll tell you this. We've been partnering at Schedulefly with Pop Menu for like a year now. And we're very cautious on who we partner with. Pop Menu is a great company. They have a great product. They have great customer service. They have great people. I don't say this lightly. I wouldn't say that about very many companies, but I'll say it about them. And you should check them out. We have a lot of very happy mutual customers, and that is it. Thank you all for listening. Let's hear from The Giving Kitchen. This episode is also brought to you by Giving Kitchen. Giving Kitchen is a national nonprofit that helps food service workers in crisis. In fact, in 10 years, they've helped over 13,000 those food service workers and awarded them over $9 million.
If you or someone you know works at a restaurant, food truck, catering company, concessions, bar, tap room, and needs financial assistance or stability network resources due to illness, injury, death of an immediate family member, or a housing disaster like flood or fire, please ask for help at thegivingkitchen.org/help. That's thegivingkitchen.org/help. Link is in the show notes. Amazing organization doing incredible work for food service workers all over the U.S. Thank you all for listening. All right. What is up, y'all? I am so thrilled to be here in Apex, North Carolina today at Neat and Sweet. What a cool place. Meredith, introduce yourself.
My name is Meredith Kromenhock.
Hold it closer.
Meredith Kromenhock. We own a few restaurants and breweries here in the Apex, Holly Springs, Fuquay area.
So you are now the second of your team to be on this podcast. I was here a few months ago with John Pierce at mm-hmm. Tap Station, and we're sitting in this beautiful, amazing new place. I need to get some pictures or something I can put up on Instagram of this place. This is awesome. This
I can
is
really share cool. some with you too.
Okay. Well, I always like to start by asking people when and how you got started in hospitality.
So my story is very similar to a lot of us who, you know, end up as lifers. When I was 14, I got a job. My brother was going back to college, so the job was handed to me, basically. I was handed the keys to a little country club bistro, I would say. It was myself and the cook. And
where was this?
This was in Georgia.
Okay.
Near Kennesaw, Marietta, Georgia.
Okay.
No training, just sell the food, marry the ketchups. I didn't know what that was. Mr. Singh loved his southpaw. And I was just kind of thrown into it. And I did a lot of sports in high school, so I didn't do a lot in the hospitality industry, but I went to Georgia Tech and I was studying chemical engineering. Ended up not liking that, so I went into management, similar to John when you spoke with him. We were engineers, and then we went to management.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
But I worked at restaurants and bars through college, graduated, and was offered an opportunity to be an opening trainer in restaurants. My father was so proud that I was using my degree for that right out of college. So I was in Canada. And
in Canada?
Yeah, the owner of this restaurant group said, I have a restaurant in St. Thomas. I want you to go help it out. And I was like, sure. Where's St. Thomas?
Oh, wow.
So got to St. Thomas, met my husband, Jeff, within weeks, if not the first month I was there. I worked for his restaurant briefly, and then I decided I was going to get out of restaurants. So I got a job at a third-party energy supplier and told them I was proficient in Excel. And learned on the first day that I was not proficient in Excel. So I did a crash course, Excel for Dummies, and fell in love with the program, of all things. Quickly moved up. I ended up building billing and pricing models for natural gas and power.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So this is a lot closer to your initial inclination of chemical engineering. I mean, falling in love with Excel is...
Not a lot of people do that. Yeah. Yeah, I ended up being an executive with them for a few years, and then they left the island and I went into financial investments.
Okay.
Fast forward two kids later, 2016, we find out we're pregnant with our third at a Madonna concert in Puerto Rico, and Zika has just hit Puerto Rico. I don't know if you remember the Zika outbreak.
Oh, yeah. Zika. I do remember that.
Yeah. You don't hear about that much anymore. So we kind of panicked, took the first flight out of Puerto Rico. And 1 week later, I was here in North Carolina with our one-year-old daughter, riding out my pregnancy with staying with family members, Jeff's family members. Jeff and our three-year-old would visit every other week, every other week and a half.
But they were still
They were still in St. Thomas.
Okay. Because
there was no real risk for them. It was just for my pregnancy and the baby.
Okay. And he had a restaurant.
And there. he had 12 restaurants there.
12 restaurants in St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha.
So at the end of my pregnancy, I said, I want to go home. I want to be with my doctor. I want my hospital. So I flew home 3 weeks before I was due and had Canon in St. Thomas. Mm. And then we really quickly realized that our little condo in the resort where we lived was not big enough for a 5-person family. Mm. Couldn't really find anywhere to live in St. Thomas. So we said, you know what, let's go to North Carolina for a year or two. And Jeff can work remotely and I can ride out my job with a financial investment firm. They were allowing me to work remotely. And then the night after we moved into our house here, Hurricane Irma was barreling down on St. Thomas.
God.
I'll make the long story short.
Wow.
Basically, Jeff was stranded in St. Thomas for the better half of the end of 2017. This was, Irma hit, tore everything up. Then Maria came, I think 7 days later, dumped all the water you could possibly imagine on the island. So everything was shut down for months.
All the restaurants?
The property where we were living ended up being basically condemned for 2 years. So we wouldn't have had anywhere to live. It was really, the foresight was great.
God.
So I guess early 2018 was when the dust settled and we realized that we needed to do more than him working remotely from here, that we needed to make some kind of business work. And, Jeff had met John, our partner, during my pregnancy. So they had talked back and forth and, John had been eyeing the property across the hall from us, scratch, for quite some time. And he said, let's go look at it. And I walked through the door and I said, yes. I don't really know what it's going to take, but yes. And at that point I was at a fork in the road. Do I get a full-time job at a desk doing, you know, whatever I would be doing and finding childcare for my kids and, you know, trying to balance the full-time in office working mom job, or do I go back to my roots where I was an opening trainer. I know the front of the house of a restaurant, and Jeff is all heart of the house. So we decided to do it together. And then that one thing led to another, and here we are.
And this was just, this is 17, 18, and then we had, wow, y'all have had quite a last 5-6 years. What did y'all do with the restaurants in St. Thomas?
He ended up selling. Initially, it was most of them back to his partner, and then he sold out of the last two a couple years later.
Okay. So then y'all got here, settled in. Yeah, so you have family here in the Raleigh area or in Apex?
In Holly Springs.
In Holly Springs.
Jeff has a brother in Holly Springs, and by happenstance, my sister moved to Apex probably a year after we moved here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you've got Tap Station, there's two scratch locations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, my stepmom, Nancy, and I go every single time I come to Cary.
I love that.
And we both get the same thing every time, even though everything sounds awesome, the Westminster Burger. And it was so good. You got a good team over there. A lot of people, good spot, just happening area, great vibe.
Thanks.
Every time. Very consistent.
Thank you.
Which I know you probably like to hear because that's such a big part of this. It's just getting it, just nailing the basics.
Sure, yeah.
Consistently every day. Well, you have had quite an, that's, what a story. That is pretty wild. So, okay. Let's talk about something that you and I were talking about before we started recording, which is, I was telling you that, my daughter this summer had her first job in a restaurant and was a hostess. And I found it something I had not thought about that I found very interesting was she had to answer the phone and she's 19 years old, but I don't even think we've had a
house phone since she's been old enough to talk on the phone. You know, we went to all cell a lot. So, and her generation doesn't really talk on the phone a lot. And that was like a big challenge for her. Like, she really did not want to do that. But she's now learned, and it's been good, because I was like, this is going to help, because when you get out into the, you know, you're in college, you're a sophomore, and you're going to start interviewing for jobs, like, you need to be able to talk on the phone. And, right. And, but it was hard, and, you know, a busy restaurant and long wait and having to clear tables and phones ringing, like, it goes from, like, it can get really stressful really fast.
Right. It's a lot. It's a lot for a, you know, I was saying 15, 16, 17, 18 year old who has not really had to deal with angry guests or the questions that they're, you know, they haven't had to field.
Yeah.
I was saying, you know, it takes a lot for these younger kids to handle an hour and a half wait when someone's standing in front of them yelling at them about why is it an hour and a half wait, and handle it with graciousness and a smile on their face. And it's not something that I think a lot of people think about. You know, you're thinking about the servers in the kitchen, but the hosts are the first line of defense for any or most restaurants, and it's a lot on their plates. It's really a great growing experience for any kid that starts at that position in a restaurant.
It really is. I mean, she would talk about people that would come in, they'd be like, hey, we got a party of 18 or whatever it is, and you know, and it's this long wait, and they're frustrated, and it's pretty obvious that there's not really good seating for, you know, and,
right.
And I find it interesting that the way customers sometimes handle that, especially, like, to me, it just seems kind of obvious. You've got, let's say, a 15-year-old, like, why would you, but people do, they don't care.
So it's interesting. I find that you can tell a person that has never had to serve another human in their lives.
This is why I think it's so important for kids, teenagers, to work in restaurants. Because once you, this is what I was saying. It's why I was telling you I like to do this. Used to think I wanted to own a restaurant. Don't think I could do it. Totally appreciate what y'all do and really value. I do think serving people is so important, because getting on the other side of that, yeah, you don't find people that have spent, you know, any significant amount of time working in restaurants that stand there and start complaining and moaning. That they get it.
Right. Yeah. Right. You get it. I mean, I think every person graduating high school or college should have to serve in some capacity. That doesn't mean you have to work in a restaurant, but there are so many ways to be in a service industry, and it teaches so much humility.
Yeah.
And people, you learn how to deal with people.
Yeah.
And when people come into the restaurant and are yelling about an hour and a half wait, it kind of makes you wonder, have you ever had to serve another human?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a good point. I think you're right. I mean, restaurants are, you know, there's lots of ways you can. Having some form of service I feel like the skills that you get working in a restaurant are so transferable.
They are. They're very powerful. We had a teacher work day last year that I'm never good with my schedule. I didn't know it was coming, so I offered to open Tap Station, and then found out there was a teacher work day, and my daughter said, can I come to work with you? And I said, well, you've been asking since we opened. Sure. I said, I'm going to put you to work, though. And my daughter's 9, our oldest, who was 10 at the time, said, well, if she's going to go, I want to go. So I took my kids to work, put them in some t-shirts, and, you know, well, it was good. Our nephew was serving that one day, so my daughter kind of helped my nephew. She was a little server support, and my son was upstairs on the second floor. He was acting as server support for the staff upstairs, and afterwards, all the staff said, you know what? They were better than some of our newer supports. And they loved it. They, you know, can I refill your water? Is there anything else I can get for you?
Oh,
it was really, really a cool moment.
What a special experience for them.
Mm-hmm.
And for the guests. That's cool.
And I didn't meet a guest that scoffed at it or, you know, bad. And they were all like, that's really cool that your kids are coming to work with you.
Why do y'all do this? What is it about owning and running restaurants, which can, I mean, it is literally I know you have, you delegate and you have people in place, but when the buck stops with you, it's a 24/7, 365 thing. It's metaphorical fires, sometimes literal fires. Mm-hmm. It's always something. It's like, what is it?
I don't know. I mean, there's so much about it that it is, you know, giving a good experience to someone. When I'm running the floor, having conversations with people and figuring out their background or their history or their likes or dislikes, you know, getting to know the staff and maybe inspiring someone to own a restaurant or be in restaurants longer than they anticipated or, you know, do something for others. It's a lot of it's the people. And sometimes it's not the people. And sometimes it's just, you know, Jeff is here fixing a ladder today. He doesn't really mind that. Like, he loves to be the fix-it. He runs around to all the restaurants all the time. Is it always convenient? No. But, you know, I think it's just having that ability to affect so many different lives.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. There's just a lot about it. You know, there's the passion for it. There's the food. There's the people. There's the culture. We kind of like it all.
Let's talk about culture. You know, I feel like culture is king in some ways, in the sense of it's harder than ever to get people into this industry, to keep people in this industry. People have so many options nowadays. Like, back in the day, it was like, you don't show up for your shit or whatever, like, you know, you get fired or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, got to bend backwards to, you know, accommodate everybody's ever-changing needs and wants and everything. So, but when you have a really strong culture where people feel valued and welcomed and they feel like they have, they're learning and they're growing, that attracts and keeps people. That I've seen, because I've done this long enough. I've talked to enough restaurant owners and restaurant groups where it's very clear to me that when there's a really strong emphasis on culture, whatever culture means in that place or in that group of places, you tend to have, like, if you can solve for that and keep really good people that are bought into that culture, so much else stems from that and takes care of itself.
Right.
Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, it all kind of falls into place. If you have happy servers, they're going to be happy with their tables. If you have servers who feel beat down or, you know, are constantly getting yelled at or just generally unhappy in their jobs, that's not going to come across well with the guests. And while we are here to serve the guests, part of the experience is offering up happy and satisfied people to serve them.
Yeah.
That culture is huge with us. And anytime I meet someone new that comes into the restaurant, I always say, welcome to the family.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, you got to love where you work. You got to at least enjoy where you work.
Yeah.
And some of these people are with their coworkers more than they're with their families, if they're working full time. So you kind of have to treat it like a family.
Yeah.
If you really want it all to come across right, you know, can't really manufacture satisfaction with your job.
Yeah.
It either is or it isn't.
It is or it isn't. Yep. Absolutely. Well, I think that, you know, I just love places like this. I love that we get to serve independent restaurants, and I feel so fortunate I get to go hang out with fun people at cool places like this. I mean, you take a town like Apex. I feel like when you create this unique space, people want to go to places to hang out, to be served, to be around friends, to have a good time. They want to go to unique places they feel, like you said, family, like that they feel like is their own.
Right.
This is what's so great about the places that y'all create. I mean, this was an insurance agency before, and now it's this awesome place where people, and I'm looking outside and I'm imagining and being out here on a, you know, nice fall evening, just hanging out and being like, that is, there's nothing cooler than that. And y'all now have, how many locations do y'all have total between your different concepts?
So we have six restaurants, right? and two breweries.
And you're all kind of...
One's like a brew pub, so okay. It's the restaurant, tap station.
Tap station, yeah.
And then the lager company in Fuquay is a standalone brewery.
And you're all sort of the outer lying areas outside of Raleigh. Do you have concepts that you want to grow and scale up, or do you want to keep... I mean, this is something new here. Like, do you enjoy creating new places?
We do.
Or both?
Jeff, my husband, is very creative with menus and concepts. It's more, though, when we find a space and we like a space, what's going to be right here
for that space.
So we don't go into a space and say, this has to be a scratch or this has to be a mason jar.
Okay.
This has to be a tap station. It's more, what is this space like? What is the surrounding area like, and what's going to work?
Mm.
What do we think is going to work?
Yeah. So if it, maybe it's not anything that you've done, then you create a new, like
right.
You did here.
Right.
I mean, how do you get, like, how did you come up with this? What made you look at this space and go, okay, here's what we need to do there?
Well, you know, when you're on an hour and a half wait on a Saturday night and all people have is these church pews lining the halls to wait.
Okay.
You know, that presents a problem because that's still part of the experience. Whether they're in the dining room or not, their experience at Scratch is ultimately sitting, unless they go somewhere else for a drink or whatnot, sitting in a hallway staring at other people who are waiting.
Yeah.
Probably generally not very happy with the circumstances.
Okay.
So we thought, what can we bring to this space that will elevate that waiting experience? And we have like charcuterie boards and past apps, but we really kind of wanted it to be, while you're waiting, have an appetizer and a cocktail and enjoy your wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of how it morphed into this. The like vintage loungy vibe was just like, come in, relax. We'll let you know when your table's ready. If you want to come in and relax, if you want to wait in the hallway, that's fine. But we wanted to just offer a space where you felt more comfortable.
All right, y'all. Time for a little mid-episode break to talk about Kickfin. Thousands of restaurants, bars, and breweries use Kickfin to tip out their employees instantly, no cash required. With Kickfin, tips go directly to your employer's bank of choice the second their shift ends. It's a really simple solution to a really big problem, because if you're still paying out credit card tips in cash, it's costing you. Time-consuming bank runs and cash counting take managers away from work that matters. Cash is hard to track, which leads to accounting headaches, and it creates the perfect opportunity for theft, human error, and compliance issues. Bottom line, there's never been an instant secure way to pay out tips until Kickfin. It's an easy-to-use software that sends real-time cashless tip payouts straight to your employees' bank accounts 24/7, 365. Kickfin gives managers hours back in their day, makes reporting a breeze, and protects your business from risk. Most importantly, employees love it. Restaurants can have Kickfin up and running overnight. Employees can enroll in seconds. No hardware, no contracts, no setup fees. Visit kickfin.com for a personalized demo and see how restaurants across the country are digitizing tips with Kickfin. That's what they like me to read. I will tell you this. I know the folks at Kickfin. Check out the episode with Brian Hassan, the co-CEO of Kickfin, was on here on the podcast. Great people. Love what they do. They treat their customers well. We have mutual customers that love the product and love the way they... the relationship they have with Kickfin. So check it out, link in the show notes, and let's check out the rest of this episode.
Yeah, you go from maybe sitting in a hallway looking at your watch going, you know, it's been an hour now, to being here going, oh, my table's ready.
Already
been an hour and a half. Like, yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, are you working on new places now, or?
Not really. We bought a warehouse in Fuquay. We're kind of trying to figure out if what that's going to turn into.
Mm.
We did go and look at a spot in Garner, Samford, and decided it wasn't going to be for us.
Why was that? Like, what? I'm so curious when you go look at spots. Like, what are you looking for? How do you determine
honestly,
that?
A large part of it was the distance.
Okay.
Because we were driving through like North Hills to get there for dinner and traffic and ladder breaks. you know, toilets plugged, whatever the need is, that drive, that 40-minute drive turns into a lot if you're doing that multiple times a day. And, you know, John has a family. We have families. Do we want to be making that drive often?
Smart. Smart to know. That's experience there, just knowing, like, ahead of time, let's be realistic about this. What is that going to entail? And having the ability to say, yeah, it could be great, but what comes with that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could have been great. It was just the time spent traveling.
So your warehouse, so you're still trying to imagine what that might be, but y'all bought the...
Yeah.
Is that the... Do you own any of the other properties?
We own Tap Station.
You do own Tap Station. Mm-hmm. I'm sure John and I talked about this, but I don't...
Yeah, that was, I think John mentioned it. Jeff, when we were opening Scratch, that's part of our commute. Jeff would drive by that gas station every day.
And yeah, I do remember that.
Similar to how John said, Jeff walked in and said, we're going to buy that. What are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
Jeff walked into our house one afternoon and said, we're going to buy that gas station on the corner. And I said, well, okay, let's do it. Let's figure it out. Jeff and I are both pretty impulsive. So when something strikes, it's kind of like, all right, now where do we go from here?
Yes. I love that. Yeah. Just, I have a very dorky way of talking about that. And one of my friends reminded me of this recently, but I was talking about the entrepreneurial journey. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched Lord of the Rings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my dorky way of talking about that is like, you're like Frodo and you got the ring and you see Mount Mordor way off and you know, you got to get there. And you don't really know how you're going to get there. And it's probably going to suck certain times along the way. And there's going to be things where you're like, why am I doing this? I just want to go back to my little, you know, like my little village with my hobbits. But you got to keep going.
Yep.
And you just figure it out.
You'll get there
eventually.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really know how, but if you just keep walking. I feel like there's a lot of that with the entrepreneurial spirit of just manifesting what that is that
you
want.
I'm going to get there. We just got to figure out the path.
But that's interesting to me that you say that you're both impulsive, because you're also somebody that just told me you love spreadsheets. And like, to me, I would think like you'd be sitting down going, okay, well, let's crunch the data and see if this is like something that we, but it sounds like you do that after you figure it out. And that may be part of the process, but that's not, because there are people that are like only going to look at the spreadsheet and the numbers and like, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. But we're going to figure this out.
Right. Like, yeah. I love a good spreadsheet. Jeff and John make fun of me all the time. They're like, Meredith, get your spreadsheet out. But that's more like my organizing the chaos as opposed to like, setting the plan in action.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, give me a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to put it in a spreadsheet and it's going to have a button and it's going to automatically calculate something for you.
Yeah.
But just give me all the chaos and I'll figure out how to make it work in a spreadsheet.
Right. Okay. Making sense of all the chaos. Yeah. I like that. That's an interesting, that's a unique skill set. A lot of people that are very into spreadsheets are not like as impulsive and you know, sort of like, we're just going to figure out the journey. So
yeah,
it's a good balance for you.
I like morph it all to make something work. It doesn't always work great and it's not always a successful spreadsheet, but I'm here to put it into there.
Okay. So I want to go back to like, talk about, when you, just the process of training people up on, so they come in here and you have to teach them about your culture and how y'all do things. And I'm like, I could imagine, I mean, you clearly have a lot of natural inclinations to just want to make people happy and take care of people and welcome to the family. Do you hire people that are inclined to just want to take care of other people, or do you hire people that are experienced at serving and then you teach them your ways?
I would say it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, it's like, it's how I relate it with bartenders. You know, with an experienced bartender, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Mm.
With an inexperienced bartender, there's a lot to learn. So we hire both.
Yeah.
If they seem like they're going to fit our culture, but there's pros and cons on either side.
Yeah.
Right. So an inexperienced bartender is probably going to take a little bit longer to get, you know, get with the groove, but maybe an experienced bartender is probably going to take a little bit longer to break old habits. So
right, this is the way I do it.
Right. So it's more about, do they seem like they're a good fit with us?
You got to have the growth mindset. I feel like, you know, like, have you ever, I'm trying to remember, Carol Dweck from Stanford wrote this book, and we had it in our school years ago. They wanted us to read it. I really liked it. It may have been called The Growth Mindset.
I think it is.
Yeah. So you know that. Growth mindset versus fixed mindset. Fixed mindset's like, I'm, you know, like, this is how I do things.
This is the box I fit in.
Growth is like, okay, like, I'm always wanting to improve and get better. I check my ego, like, and I try to learn all the time. You need that mindset, I feel like, in a job like this, because you're never going to master it. I mean, there's always more to learn, and the industry changes and the technology
right.
changes.
Yeah.
And it's like you kind of always have to.
I mean, we've seen so much with the industry changing. Everybody talks about it since COVID. So you really have to be able to conform and to pivot. You know, the old Friends episode, pivot.
That's my wife's favorite scene of any show. And I can't wait to tell her you said that. I mean, literally, that is that 5 seconds is her favorite scene of any show on television in history. And we say pivot all the time.
Mm-hmm. I recently sent my sister, I ran across it, you know, came across some page, and it was the outtakes from that scene.
It must have been incredible.
And they said the outtakes of that scene were so far and beyond better than the actual scene itself, because they were just dying. They were so tickled by the whole scene. It was great. I'm going to have to send it to you. You can send it to
Please
me.
Do. I'll send that to my wife. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like not a month goes by where we're like,
that.
There's not something like one of us will go like, pivot.
Pivot.
Like, our kids are in on it now and everything.
I love that.
That's it. But you do. Golly, that is certainly a word that I would use to describe what has had to happen since COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like there for a while we were trying to create a new business model once a week based upon masks, no masks, curbside, no curbside. You can sell alcohol. You can't sell alcohol. So we were just spinning, trying to figure out what to do. So yeah, you have to be malleable. There are a lot of egos, and there are a lot of people who think their way is the highway. And I feel like the more successful entrepreneurs are the ones who have to check their ego. I mean, and we'll sit in management meetings with our managers and our kitchen managers, and we'll tell them, this is just our idea. This is not set in stone. If
right.
you have a better way, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We are not always right, and we are fallible, and you have to listen to your staff and, you know, the people who surround you, because you put them in their positions for a reason. So clearly they have a solid head on their shoulders. So we're not always right.
That is the core of great culture. I truly believe that what you just said. It's not like, it's assembling people that want to grow, that want to learn, that have ideas, and the group working together to figure out the answer, not, you know, here's what we're going to do. I lead, you follow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all figure this out together. And being able to say, I don't know, is like a really powerful skill set, I think.
And it's hard for a lot of people to do.
It is. It is. I think once you, I mean, I used to think I knew everything. It's like the older you get, the more you realize. Like,
24 years old and I moved to an island that I don't even know where it is. Yep. I know it all.
Oh man. I was going to say you said your dad, like, you graduated and you were like working at, like, you go to Georgia Tech and you got chemical engineering, and
yep.
Now he's like, oh my gosh, what's going on?
What is going on with her? Yeah, when I called them and told them I was going to St. Thomas, it was originally just for a week. So I did my week. The owner called me back and said, I want you to move here. And I said, I'll see you in a week. Threw my stuff in storage and went. But when I originally called my dad and my stepmom to tell them I was going there for a week, my stepmom said, we're never going to get you back. And I was like, no, I'll totally be back. And then.
It seems like a really cool place to live.
It was cool.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Great.
Was it Frenchman's Reef?
Mm-hmm.
Is that still there?
I live that. My first house there was just above Frenchman's Reef.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
We went to that when I was like a little kid. I just remember that place. I remember St. Thomas being really, really cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what's What else is going on right now? What are you focused on primarily these days?
What am I not focused on? But really, I do a lot of like back admin stuff for the restaurant. So, primarily my focus is on making sure, you know, the counting and the accounts payable and, working on all the reporting and stuff. Other than that, surviving parenthood and getting kids to practices is a really big focus right now. I just try to be all the places I need to be all the time.
Yeah.
When I'm running the floor, people ask me, "Oh, are you the manager?" And I'm like, "Uh-huh." And the plumber and the they're like, "So are you the manager?" I'm like, "Yeah, I go where I need to be. I just go where they tell me to be."
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I just go where I need to be.
Well, it's a tricky balance having kids, and I mean, I guess in a lot of ways that's the restaurant world is in some ways can be nonstop, but then it gives you a little flexibility to, you know.
It does. And that was part of the driving factor for when we opened these was I can bring my kids to work. Yeah. My little one was halfway up a ladder in a diaper when we were opening Scratch, and our partner was like, "Cannon's on the ladder?" And we were like, "Ah, well, we should get him down."
That's awesome. Well, I have to ask you, I know I asked John about this. I do remember this. So I'm going to give a little plug here. I don't know how involved you are with Pop Menu, but y'all use Pop Menu.
We do use Pop Menu, and we've been very pleased with Pop Menu. I don't think we use it to its fullest capabilities.
Yeah. I don't know if any, I mean, well, I say nobody does. There's a lot in there.
There's a lot that they offer.
It's a pretty impressive
platform. Yeah, it is. It's made our lives easier with regard to the menus and, you know, getting our menus out there and the reviews by menu item or all the things that they offer is really remarkable. And I've been listening to your podcast and I'm like, man, I really need to get onto Pop Menu and start using them more.
Yeah. Well, we like them a lot. Like we are very, like really, really probably overly careful about anybody that we sort of partner with and recommend. And we've built this partnership with them over the last year. And I just have been so pleased with just everybody that works there. I mean, it's great to have great technology. Like that's awesome. I always feel like the people and the customer service and all that goes with that are equally, if not more important. And they got a really good team of people. So I'll tell them and maybe, you know, like I'm sure they'll follow up and, you know, find time to help you figure out how to maximize it amongst your shuffling kids around.
I know, we really should. There's so much that we could be doing more.
Yeah, they're a good example of, like, there's so much, particularly since and during and since COVID. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of restaurant tech companies now. Most of them are venture-backed. As is Pop Menu. And that's why I get like a lot of times that turns into let's sell as many products in a very aggressive way to as many people as possible so we can have a good exit. And it's all about, you know, investors. They seem to play the long game and do that really, really well where it's very customer focused. I think that's rare and I think it's cool. So.
Yeah. And it's so user friendly.
Yeah.
Which is great for us. We don't have a lot of time to try to navigate something that we just, you know, it's difficult.
Do you all have people like calling you constantly trying to sell you stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you manage that? Just ignore a lot of it? Figure out when you have a need, then go find the right.
Yeah, that's more of how we need to do this. We need to get there. Yeah, there's constantly people calling about all kinds of random things.
That's what I can imagine. Like, there's like, I mean, not just technology, just everything. Like, restaurants have to buy all kinds of stuff. Like, and there's a lot of people selling each of those kinds of things.
Yep. And there's a lot of new things that people are calling me about. I'm like, you knew what? What do you do? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Well, cool. I appreciate this.
Thank you. Finally meeting you.
It is nice to finally meet you. I love having the opportunity. I'm so grateful when I get to do these in person. It's nice to, especially with a place, I'm telling you, man, like, y'all got it figured out over there at Scratch.
Thanks.
I mean, I know you have it all your places, but that's like a every time. I told Nancy this morning, I was like, I'll be back in about a month and
get that Westminster Abbey.
Go back and get that Westminster. Y'all have got, you don't really have anywhere to do this over there.
No. There's the axe throwing place next door. We actually took over to
There's an axe throwing place here?
Mm-hmm. Right next door to Scratch, yeah. We took over two different businesses in that building. So that building was originally split.
Okay.
So it's just us in the building, unless something else came available nearby, but there's no other space in that building.
Parking's hard over there.
Mm-hmm. Parking's hard everywhere.
I always get, I've actually parked every time. If you pull into the parking lot, there's like it doesn't look like a full spot.
It doesn't look like a spot.
I park there every time. That's where Jeff I got it again last night.
You did?
Yeah. I'm always pulling in. I'm like, but it looks like it's a spot. And so I just park there.
It's a bizarre spot. Jeff always parks there. And I'm like, can you park here?
It's like three quarters of a spot.
It is.
It looks like a spot, but then the curve's like too close.
And it's right there.
But it's a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Nancy laughed at me last night. She's like, you park there? I'm like, well, nobody else parks here.
It's Will's right spot. Right by the front door. Spray paint the spot.
All right. Well, this has been fun. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for the business. Thank you for your time. If y'all got more folks on your crew, Jeff, I don't know if he's into this stuff, but anybody else? I'll come back. We'll do another episode sometime.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Hey, y'all, before you sign out on this episode, a couple of quick things. Number one, if you listen to us on iTunes, if you could give us a star rating and a comment, it would help so much. Same thing if you're on Spotify, follow us, or any platform that you're on, if you would just do whatever their rating or follow options are. What that does is it tells the algorithms that this content is good and meaningful and valuable, and it'll tell them to put it in front of more people. So thank you for doing that. If you take the second to do that, that'd be so awesome. And also, if your restaurant is either using Excel or you're using some software that's expensive and has a lot of bells and whistles you don't need, or maybe doesn't have great customer service, we'd love to take care of you at ScheduleFly. Simple, easy restaurant employee scheduling software, legendary customer service, 30-day free trial, ScheduleFly.com. My cell phone number's on the trial sign-up page. Thank you for listening. See ya.